Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's rivalry week.
Everett Hayes does kick an onsider. The ball in the air and recovered by the Beavers.
Ducks and Beavers go toe-to-toe this week.
They call it the Civil War out here in the Great Northwest.
This platypus of a show could not be more opposite.
This one is pure fun. Revitalizes the whole state every year.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
I've never in my lifetime watched an Oregon game and the game be over that quickly.
Brandon Spray.
I know bad things have happened to you. I'm totally with you on that. It shouldn't be this bad.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Spray. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague here. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. The commute hopefully going a little better on 205. Yesterday, Dirt, before I even came into the office, I almost missed the start of the show.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, I got in early enough. I had left early enough, but right as I had hit 205, red lights everywhere.
And that's the worst, dude.
I cut super hard and went over the middle of the Foster exit.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling.
They ended up shutting the highway down because a semi rolled over completely drunk driver.
Well, that's wonderful to have right in time for the morning commute.
Yeah, it was great. We had people texting in all show. Guys, traffic is the worst today.
Yeah, that's great. That's a nice little solid start to your Tuesday.
Dirt is back.
Hey!
There he is. He has beaten the food poisoning. He's back on the saddle today. We got a status story Wednesday to get to. Lucy Burge is going to join the show. Bill Connolly's going to join the show. Connolly's Quarterly. His college football report at 8 a.m.
It's a wonderful name for this segment. I'm very excited to talk to Bill Connolly.
Me too.
His numbers have changed a lot since the start of the year in the S&P Plus model, and I'm curious what's surprised him the most.
Some college football dealings we'll get to coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got a really defensive coach, and I just was wondering, watching this in real time, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the internet. And I feel like we need to start talking about this stuff honestly of like, some of these public figures are just talking to the internet
right.
And they're not grounded in reality whatsoever.
Social media is not real life. Half of the accounts on there are fake people.
To kick off, and we'll have a mini mail sack as well. We'll
yes.
get to that today. I kept some of the questions from the mail sack yesterday. It was a great mail sack, but we went long with Orem. Wants to fire Trent Bray.
I'm sure that went over well with a small segment of Beaver fans.
There's really rational responses to
from
that.
From all those totally yeah. normal and real people who aren't anonymous
Absolutely.
Burner accounts on social media.
He sent me one of them that just had an awful thing to say. And I said, dude, that's a name with like 15 numbers. There is no chance that's not a burner account.
Yeah, you that opinion does not matter.
Right.
That's not a real person.
Like, yeah,
I don't care what they have to say about the overall situation.
But let's, we delayed it enough. We didn't get it yesterday. The ladies were really upset.
Were they pissed off that the dirty poll didn't happen?
They were.
The ladies love the dirty poll. That I know.
Well, let's get to it. It's a hump day edition of the dirty poll following week 3 and now heading into week 4. Andy, Dirt Johnson, how the top 12 stack up?
We got some teams departing, and we got some new arrivals. There are, by my count, 1, 2, 3 new teams in the dirty poll this week.
Wow.
So a little bit of movement.
Okay.
Some teams didn't even lose, and I dropped them out of the top 12. Looking at you, Texas, you're out.
Mm.
Okay, when you have a quarterback who doesn't have the yips and you're not getting booed off the field at the end of the first half, you lost to Ohio State, which, hey, that was not a bad loss. The following 2 weeks have not gone great for you. Your offense has been sluggish. There's too much talent on that team for them to look like that. Texas, wake me up when you do something offensively and arch control football again, then I'll put you back in the top 12 for now.
You've taken Texas out completely.
If I were a top 12 voter, I would not put them in. The resume isn't strong enough. I don't care. Like, the quality loss thing only matters if you're looking the part in your other games. Like, it's okay to say, well, one of their losses is to a team that a lot of teams would have also lost to, and that's a fair argument. But then you got to go back it up in the other games and look dominant against teams that you should be dominant against.
Okay.
And they were terrible this weekend, and I watched a lot of that game because I was shocked at how bad Arch's stat line was, so they're out. Number 12 newcomer this week, I think they deserve it. They got a Power 5 win in non-conference on the road, and then one of the best games of the season, I would argue, so far. I think they're built the right way and the mold of their head coach, and that's Georgia Tech. They show up at number 12 with a nice win over Clemson this weekend at home. They're 3-0, and I think they're a legitimate player in the ACC this year. Schedule the next couple of weeks is manageable for them, so I got Georgia Tech at 12. Showdown this weekend, one of the games of the weekend will be, ironically, as we all would have said 16 months ago, anybody excited for Illinois-Indiana? Anybody geared up for that one? It's a top 20 matchup. I'm higher on Illinois than I am on Indiana. I think they've shown it. I like their win on the road at Duke. They're 3-0. First Big Ten games this weekend. I got Illinois at number 11.
They handled Duke in the second half of that game. That was a kind of a tight game, and then Illinois just stomped them. Actually, I'll say I'm not surprised that this is a game that people should be paying attention to. I think people would have pegged this as a game of like, oh,
that could be at the start of the year for sure. Yeah. I'm saying more like a year ago. Like a 16 month, like, you know, if I told you that before Cignetti got hired, you're like, who cares about Indiana football? And now that's the primetime game on NBC this weekend. That's your 4:30 NBC kick. Yep. I don't think it'll quite have the number Notre Dame A&M did.
You think the winner of this is the fourth team out of the Big Ten?
I think there's multiple candidates for that this weekend, and I'm not going to say it's that team. Because I think there's another game in Lincoln, Nebraska where the team could be it. I would argue maybe there's a game in Los Angeles on Saturday night where the team could be it.
Wow.
I even think there could be a game in Pullman, Washington where the team could be it. That group is wide open to me, and it could be any of them. So I'm not just going to lean on Illinois or Indiana. Number 10, they play arguably the game of the weekend. It's the game that game day should have gone to. I know the Big Nooner will be there. Really excited to see how Utah faces Texas Tech. I know they're kind of cruising. They didn't play anybody last week. Utah did.
Well, they went on the road in Wyoming. And I know Wyoming's not great, but what's the elevation there? And
sure.
A bit of a trappy situation.
This is a fun one. This is one where I'm really excited to see how it looks. They kicked the crap out of UCLA in the opening weekend, which made me say Utah's the front runner in the Big 12, and UCLA has looked terrible ever since. So that win has looked less and less important. I do think they win this weekend, primarily because I think they have the advantage at quarterback now that Morton hasn't been good at Texas Tech. But big Devin Dampier guy, excited to see how they look. Utah's number 10. And look, just like I criticize AP poll voters when they get something wrong, and it was nice to see Brenna Green own up to her mistake of having South Carolina in the top 10 and Vanderbilt unranked after they got worked at home 31-6. We all make mistakes. And yes. I had one last week, and a listener texted in and said, Dirt, I like the dirty poll. I like the 12 teams you got. You're missing somebody here. So look, this is not going to look right because they didn't even play a game this weekend. But you know what? You were 100% right. I overlooked a team last week. They don't play anybody this week, so they ain't going anywhere. They will be in the top 12 next week. And that is Florida State. Coming into the year, I wasn't quite sure what to make. I do like Castellanos, the addition, and they hit the portal hard at a bunch of different spots. I probably should have had Florida State in my top 12 last week, and Alabama has rolled ever since that game happened, and so the win has looked better in terms of the way they dominated. Now, Florida State plays Kent State this weekend. You will learn nothing. They're off of a bye last week, and they beat East Texas A&M the week before that. Things heat up, though, in a couple of weeks. They get Miami at home, on the road to Clemson later in the year. But I like what Florida State has shown early in the season, and they got one of the best wins of the year so far and did it in dominant fashion. They're at number 9. Number 8 is Penn State. You're going to continue to sink because you struggled with Vanderbilt. They play Oregon in 2 weeks. They got to bye this week.
I saw Tom Fornelli did his power rankings.
Yeah.
I love Tom Fornelli.
Yes.
I try to get him on the show. I'd never get a response. I found it to be puzzling beyond.
I don't get it, man. Like, they might end up being there.
Penn State at 2.
Based on what?
I read it, and I can't even really tell you. And then Oregon actually dropped in his power rating because they allowed 160 yards or whatever it was to Northwestern. I went, Wait a minute here.
10 why are we
thinking at halftime against FIU? That team rises and Oregon is falling.
And it's look, Northwestern's crazy. Not good. Nobody argues that. It's a Big Ten team on the road. You played Villanova at home, and it was 14-0 with 2 minutes to go in the first half. And then they scored 31 on them in the fourth quarter, or in the second half, excuse me. Like, so they're going to. They don't play this weekend. That game is in 2 weeks. We all are eager to get
that's
it
the game.
And figure it out. But I have no problem dropping teams for not playing great. They've beaten nobody. They played nobody, and they haven't looked great half the time doing it. Number seven is a team that I made this argument last week, and I will be like, it's funny how sometimes when you come into the season with a lot of hype and potential, it usually doesn't work out for you. And I made the argument last week, this is a year where nobody really talked about him, and now all of a sudden, look at him. I got Texas A&M at number seven, man. What Marcel Reed did on the road, he looked outstanding. He was throwing it. He was running it. He was in charge. The fourth down, touchdown pass, his time basically expired at the end of that game. Was an incredible play by him, and so I'm really high on A&M. They had a lot of talent coming in. I think they had the coach to match it. SEC schedule is going to be a gauntlet, but that's the case for a lot of teams. But for right now, A&M 7, and then the top 6 really unchanged. Oklahoma at 6. Mm-hmm. I did drop Oregon down to 5, primarily because Georgia moved up with their win on the road. I slid Ohio State down to 4. Like, don't struggle at home with Ohio. That's a bit of an issue for me. You're still quality win. Top 4 is fine, but I'm not going to have you in the top 3. Georgia went on the road and won at Tennessee, who I think woke people up maybe how good they could be, and Georgia's offense looked the part. I got Miami at 2 after the blowout win over South Florida, and LSU beating Florida at number 1. I don't having a number 1 team right now is challenging. Like, Miami and LSU was a debate in my head. I also didn't want to overreact too much to the win over South Florida, because South Florida had to play 3 ranked teams in a row right out of the gate. Like, that's hard to do. They had Miami's attention because they pulled off the upset against Florida the week before. And so I think South Florida's a good team, but I don't want to give Miami the flowers in terms of the number one ranking, is that they beat a top 5 team in the country in blowout fashion. Miami gets Florida this weekend. They look the part again. They'll probably be number 1 next week.
You know, I think the number 1 thing, you just can't worry about it. You just got to go with your gut, what you've seen.
I think LSU is elite defensively, and they've proven that. And I also...
They have 2 very good wins.
They got to figure out their offense right now.
They've got a good win, and they've got a...
Like, Clemson's going to be in the mix the rest of the year, and we'll talk about them, I know, here soon. But they're not going anywhere. This is what Clemson does. It feels like every year, and you look up, and you're like, hey, they're dead. And now they're 8-2 at the end of the season. That's just kind of who they've been. LSU's got to figure out their offense. But I think there's a belief that they will, because of who their quarterback is, that if they can pair that with what they're doing early in the year defensively, that's a special team.
So I actually want to correct the record here.
Yes.
So I went back and I pulled up his power rating.
Okay.
I had it wrong. So Oregon is his number 2, but he does say, like, basically, like, I don't know about this. It wasn't great.
Yeah, run defense wasn't great.
Penn State, this is who Penn State passed. Okay. Penn State, who did they play last weekend?
They played Villanova at home.
Okay, who they play week 4?
Who was it the week before?
Let me pull FIU.
FIU, thank you. And Nevada in week 1. That is their non-conference schedule.
They jumped Georgia.
What are we doing? Georgia did not look good against Austin Peay, and I dropped him in my dirty poll last week for that, but they went on the road and beat Tennessee.
How do you win at Knoxville? That's a good Tennessee team.
That's better than we thought.
That's good.
Team. Yes.
Aguilar's good. The receiver's popping up on Dane Brugler's NFL mocks. Like,
this is back-to-back
what
weeks for Penn State, too.
To make Penn State jump at Georgia after Georgia gets that win?
The FIU game a week ago, they were up 10-0 at the half. At home against FIU. And you could say, well, they're just playing with their food, and that's fine. Like, time will tell. They beat Oregon, and they beat Ohio State, and maybe Penn State ends up being the team that we thought they could be. But we got to go off of what we've seen, and I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt because you're playing terrible teams. Like, you should come out, and it should be a dominant victory. And that's back-to-back games against really bad teams where the game is in question going into essentially the end of the first half.
Mm.
And that's not playing like a feisty group of 5 team. We're talking about FIU and Villanova.
Yeah. Half the time I forget Villanova has a football
team. This isn't South Florida or Boise State or Tulane or insert one of these, like, hey, you know, you're not playing Alabama this weekend, but they could get you if you're not awake. Like, that's not what Villanova football is.
We got an angry college football coach. He's calling everybody out. He's good. He wants you to know he's good. Don't you dare lose him. That's next on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'll do this. I'll throw it out there. It's 7:18. My laptop says 10:18.
Mine does too, by the way. The new computer, the overlord's got me.
Welcome.
Yeah, the big boss stepped in, and then I got an email from him, and it's like, all right, I guess I should probably do this.
Big
now.
Boss steps in. It's there's no more.
I don't really have a counter argument anymore. It's basically like, you need to do this, or, you know, so, okay, all right, fine. I get it. I'll do it. I'll do it. So yeah, tapping 10:19 on a Wednesday morning, everybody.
Happy 10:19.
We're done. The show's over. I'm going home.
Goodbye. I'm going to throw out, if anybody has them, I know you gave them yesterday. I kept a lot of them. Get any mail sack questions? We'll do a mini sack at 7:45. We'll make up for Dirt missing out on the mail sack yesterday.
I missed the mail. It's my favorite bit of radio we do all week.
Swag is training one of our great new hires, yes. Casey, who's a Beav, by the way.
He is. We got another Beav on the staff.
KBVR legend, as That's they right. say in the streets. But he's talking to him, but Casey, I cannot see Casey. Casey is off to the side where I can't see him. So Swag is sitting here talking and
he's
pointing
talking
at me, and I'm like so confused half the time of like what he's doing. It's throwing me off. I just got to sure. be honest.
Well, it's because these screens are not ideally placed. So I'm actually pointing at the wide orbit screen showing him stuff and then pointing at the board.
Okay. Well,
he's also in like a dungeon over there without any lights on. So it's kind of hard to see
like
in general.
Right.
Now, turn the lights on.
Turn them
on. Turn the lights on.
Come on.
Okay.
Nice and bright.
I don't need to be blinded.
Are you making love in the studio over there? Turn the lights on.
You got to stay romantic. Yes. Barry White's playing
makes
in the background.
Radio love every morning.
So if you have any mail sack question that you want to throw back in or you want to just ask on a Wednesday, because why not have a mini mail sack on Wednesday at 7:45? Get it in. 503-864-6326. Dabo Swinney not happy.
Not happy at all.
Never mind the fact that his team has lost two games.
Yes.
He's angry at the fans. It's the fans' fault. They're not appreciative enough. You don't want me here, I'll leave. He talked yesterday at his press conference, and he made headlines. Dabo Swinney, if I could find the cut here. Sometimes they're not color-coordinated.
Orange color-coordinated? Oh, you go purple for Clemson.
This is the only purple one I see.
Ah, Canada loves me when I come.
I think you're on the wrong page. Here, I got it. You want me to play? I can play.
Oh,
you want me to play?
There it is. Okay, yeah, I found it. Thank you. Here is Dabo Swinney. You're not happy with his performance and his team's performance. Why don't you reconsider?
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on their way, because that's all we've done is win. Yeah. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years.
You wanted to.
Is that not good? I'm just asking. Is that good? I don't know if that's good or not. To win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we're a little down right now. Take your shots, but I got a long memory, in case y'all don't know.
Try that.
Look, there was a lot more than this, too. Like, it was legitimately, and it was funny, I was listening to Pate last night.
Yeah.
Do you know what the question was that led to this entire tirade?
It's going to be something that shouldn't have led to the tirade.
He came into the press conference wanting to say this, and he just was waiting for the opportunity to do it. The question that precipitated it was, do you have one offensive play call that you would want back in the game against Georgia Tech? That was the question.
Well, yeah, he was waiting for one thing to bother him.
And that's not even that bad of a question. Like, oh, you know, yeah, maybe not calling this on third down, or hey, I would have loved this call back, or we didn't execute this right on first down that put us behind the chains. Like, that's a very easy thing for a coach to answer. He went on. Like, that was just a small snippet of it. There was like 2.5, 3 minutes of him ranting and raving about, I'm only 55, I'll go coach somewhere else if you want me to.
Yeah, he says, I'm young. I'm just now becoming a coach age.
I'm not going to the beach, so you want me to go coach somewhere and win somewhere else? I'll go coach and win somewhere else.
I did see that part. We should have added to it, but I just think that kind of sums him up in general. Look, are fans on the internet upset that they're 1-2? 180%. Have they blown two opportunities to have good wins on their resume?
Yep.
Also factual.
Yep. They could have very easily beaten Georgia Tech and LSU. They were in both those
games. Has he been to 4 natties and 1-2? Yep. Has he dominated the ACC largely in his stint there? Yeah. So, like, all of this is accurate. And he does this it's kind of becoming a tradition to start slow.
Yes.
And then you're going to pick up steam. He's going to play a bunch of patsies on that schedule that his team is just out-talented, more out-talent. He's going to out-talent the other teams, and yeah, he's going to win. And
until they play Florida State, they got about a month run here where they should rack up dubs. If they don't, that's a different conversation.
Right, and if they lose some of those games, boy, it's going to get a little louder there. And, yes, yeah, some media members will go on television and say it's a disappointment. Like, come on, man. Like, we know you've accomplished a lot. It's just, you were asked about an adjustment, and it sent you down a spiral of somebody that sounds like they're reading the message board with a cocktail in their hand after losing a game to Georgia Tech. That's how that comes across to me.
Without a doubt.
And it's just like we talked about with other coaches. I think these guys, I don't think they rehearse it. I do think they jot things down and they say, well, I'm going to say this next time something happens.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly was ready and angry to respond to a passing offensive question, just like Dabo walked into that presser, ready to fire at somebody who did any hint of questioning in coaching.
This has gotten to the point where I feel like, and I think you mentioned this, we get one of these every year now with Dabo. Like, this has just become his thing, where they have some point in the season where they're not playing up to expectations, and he goes on a tangent in front of the media. Mm. The reality is, and I, you know, There's a truth on both sides of this fence. There genuinely is. Like, he's won multiple national championships.
Yeah.
Him and Kirby Smart are the only ones that can claim that currently, because Nick Saban walked away and Urban Meyer ain't coaching anytime soon.
Yep.
There's two coaches who have done that, who have multiple national championships. He has built Clemson into a powerhouse in the sport, or did build Clemson into a powerhouse in the sport.
True.
He is a victim of his own success. Like, he set the bar and the standard so high that now 9 or 10 win seasons seem disappointing. And so there is a valid part of his argument of, like, really? You're gonna, like, I've won 2 titles. You're criticizing me? I win 10 games every year. Like, calm down. This will be okay. We've done this before. While simultaneously arguing, this was the year that it was supposed to be it for Clemson. Like, you were not alone in thinking Clemson could win a national title. I had them in my championship game. They have built for 3 or 4 years to get to this point. They have a 4-year starter at quarterback. Clemson's not a team that's going to microwave in the offseason with the portal and say, here we go, like LSU was done this past offseason, or Ohio State adding guys a year ago. They got to let it, you know, kind of marinate for a couple of years, and here they are with a chance to win, and they come out 1-2 in their first 3 games. Like, there is...
But that's not entirely accurate either, though, because my counter would be their defense was returning a lot, too, which is why I really liked them. He is a great coach. Nobody would refute that argument. He hit the portal harder this year than he ever has combined previous years. And what was he at the beginning of the portal era? I won't do that.
Yeah, he wasn't going to touch
it. We don't do that. If kids make money, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
Well, kids are making money.
I mean, yeah.
You quit?
That's Dabo.
Portal era. What are you doing now? You dabbled in it, Dabo, more than you ever had combined years previous. But here's the other counter to that. They can hit the portal. He continues to choose not to hit the portal harder.
Totally fair.
He could have hit it. He had the opportunity to do it. And he brought in more than he ever has. That's kind of the narrative. It still isn't as much as these other programs.
No.
So, like, he is a victim of his own success. I would give him all of the flowers in the world. You are a great coach. You've been one of the better college football coaches of my life. But we're in a different era. Nick Saban said, I don't like this. I'm getting out of this to do television. And now everybody can compete. It's a world where we say 12 teams could win the national championship. I don't know if that's accurate.
Right.
But we say that because, in large part, talent can transfer at any given moment. And he still, despite doing it more this year than other years, he still doesn't do it that much. So he could have addressed his running back problem. He could have addressed other areas of concern. Their receivers are just now coming on 3-4 weeks into the year, and it's good to grow. You could have went and got a receiver to start the season and say, this guy's ready to go.
Yeah,
West Coast's going to come along, and everybody else. He doesn't. So it's kind of an out, but I don't agree with it. He could have done more in the portal than he
Without
did, and
doubt.
He chooses not to.
Well, and I think that the side of the argument that I agree with on the criticizing of Dabo, like, nobody's firing Dabo Sweeney.
No,
like,
not
he's doing
in any
the
way.
Straw man argument where he's, you know, everybody wants to be fired. Like, nobody wants you fired.
No, they're booster just, is telling you better win or you're
like,
fired.
This is not, Lincoln Riley going into a pressure cooker where you haven't done anything in 4 years.
Right.
Everybody's like, you better win 9 games this year or else what are we doing here?
Right.
I think the part that would concern me the most, though, and the reason I do understand some criticism of him is, one, what you're highlighting, and we've talked about that for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, like, I don't expect you to win a national title every year. It's just like when I watch you Do I feel like you're one of the best teams in the sport? Because Clemson should be. Mm. And there's times where, like, yeah, I know they made the playoff last year, but they made the playoff because of the, one, expanded field and the guaranteed spot for a conference champion. They got to play SMU in the conference championship game. SMU was fine, but let's not act like they went on the road and beat Georgia or something in that game.
No, they got blown out by Penn State in the first playoff game.
So, and then they lose their game, right? Mm-hmm. And Clemson lost to Texas in their first playoff game. Like, Georgia the last couple of years has been a good example of this. They've gone a couple of years without winning a title, but Georgia's not fallen off. They might not be to the same quite elite back-to-back title level that they were, because that's hard to do.
Right.
But look at the year that they didn't win. They went undefeated in the regular season and then lost Alabama in the SEC title game and then missed because it was a 14 playoff. And then last year, they still were kind of down, but they went 10-2, won one of the best conferences in the sport, and then went to the college football playoff. And so there's an idea of watching some of these teams where I'm not asking you to win a title every year, and that shouldn't be the expectation. But I had the thought this year that Clemson was legitimately a title contender, and I don't feel that way anymore.
No, not
they could still go
that
on to win the ACC, but I think the ACC is more challenging than it's been in a long time, because Florida State seems to be better. Miami might be one of the best teams in the country. You just lost head-to-head to Georgia Tech, so you might be the fourth best team in your conference, and that's the alarming nature. It's not that you haven't won a title in 6 years. It's that it doesn't seem like you're close to winning a title. You're not knocking on the door anymore, and that's troubling in Clemson.
Yeah, him being angry, not shocking at all.
I mean, this is 3 years in a row. 2023, they remember they lost the opener to Duke, and then they lost to Florida State, and then they lost to Miami. They were 4-3, and he said, what, I've won two titles. Why is everybody complaining? And then last year, they come out. They get killed by Georgia in the first game, and it's, I won two. And then they lost to Louisville, and it's, I've won two titles. What's everybody complaining about?
Well, but can we be honest? Him and Kelly are similar in this way, Brian Kelly. Isn't it? And he's got titles to rest on. Brian Kelly doesn't.
Yes.
Isn't it easier to just say that instead of addressing maybe where you're coming up short, right? It's probably not easy to be as great as he's been and look in the mirror and say, you've fallen behind in an era where if you didn't fall behind, you'd be Georgia.
Right. You got every resource imaginable.
They'd spend money if you wanted to spend more money on the portal. They would absolutely greenlight that for you. They're sickos for it. They love that team. So.
Right.
I kind of think it's a little bit of that. It's instead of looking in the mirror and saying, I only recruited like six kids in the portal, a couple of those are backups, by the way. Right. It's easier to just say, I won two titles. I know what I'm doing. You know
what
I mean?
And how long as a fan does that, like, if you don't feel like you're close to winning a title, which I don't, and maybe this ages terribly and they get hot and there's the Clemson at the end of the year that we all thought they were going to be.
He's close, but he's not as close as he once was.
No.
As how I describe it. Like, he might next
year.
If
you're a fan of that team, how long does the benefit of the doubt carry?
See, if you continue to just never care about the portal in the era and other teams continue to lap you up in that, it's not I'm a fire you, because again, winning a title every year is not, that's not logical.
No.
But it is a bit of like a,
you should be in the mix more years than you're not. And it feels like it's been a long time since they've been in the mix.
Yes.
He wants to claim they won a title in 19, which technically they did, but it was the 2018 season. So that way, it was the 2018 season. The title game happened to be in the January of 2019.
That's actually a funny way to spin it.
He's like, we won a title in 2019. It's like, well, yeah, but it was 7 years ago and you haven't sniffed one since that happened.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, how long does that, you know, every fan is going to be different. Some will say, thanks for the memories, and this is fine. You don't need to do it. Others will say, like, 7 years is a long time, man. You set the bar that high, and now you're not living up to it.
We got some pressure cooker stuff happening in college football outside of Dabo Swinney. So we'll get to that. Don't forget a mini mail sack, because Dirt was out yesterday. I got some of the questions from yesterday. I'm collecting the new ones now at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. You could text those in, but we'll get some college football dealings, some pressure cooker stuff next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st. That's this weekend, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Well done.
Thank you.
Nailed it. Adversaries.
We will get to Bill Connolly, our Connolly Quarterly, coming up at 8 a.m. Get his thoughts on college football in general, the landscape of things. Made a little waves yesterday. Bill Orem on the radio program talking about the Trent Bray era and how bad it's been. One of our new hires, Casey, is a as I mentioned, he's a young Beaver.
Yes, a recent Beaver grad.
He's probably a bigger Beaver fan than I am.
Yeah, I mean, when you're just out of college and you're fresh in it, it's a different thing.
He says fire Bray.
Yeah, I saw some of the responses on our social media page yesterday because you put out some quotes from Orem, and I was bummed to miss that conversation because I saw that press conference on Monday when I was sitting around in the afternoon and thought to myself, oh, this is going to be juicy tomorrow. And then you booked Bill to come on. And I love that somebody asked, you know, Bray those questions, and I know that people had a problem with the tone and should he have said things differently. And it's like, yeah, I would rather, if I'm a Beaver fan, be focused on somebody asking those questions. And tell me about that freshman wide receiver who scored a touchdown when you were down 45-0. That was kind of nice to see, wasn't it? Like, dude, how much turd polishing can we possibly do down here?
Well, they got team stuff they have to put out.
I get it. It's one thing to have it be, I'm not quite there yet, or would it be a mistake to do it this soon? Like, to ask questions aloud, that's okay. To completely dismiss the idea that he might be in over his head and not knowing what he's doing.
It's not based in reality.
It's some phenomenal blindfolds that'll be put on by fans.
But like, it's not a lot.
Are you going to show up if they're 0-7 and say, you were right, Bill Orem? Are you going to apologize? And just because somebody writes an article that's critical of Oregon State, it does not mean that they're just a duck honk and they hate your program.
Duck fan would actually disagree with Bill Orem being
yes,
a duck fan.
A lot of people don't think he's a duck fan either. I know that doesn't seem like it's fair on your side, but there's a lot of duck fans who would argue that. And I would say a columnist is doing his job when that's the reaction from the fan base.
Well, it's a pressure cooker weekend in some ways in this sport, right? Like, I tend to think Oregon's going to win, and you can say, well, it's not a pressure cooker for him. We all know he's going to lose. Well, you know, streets are talking about injuries at Oregon.
DeCorian Moore banged up in practice.
The streets is saying.
That's what the rumor mill's saying. Might not play this weekend.
We have no clue. I don't think Noah Whittington needs to play in this game. Like, no. I think they'll be fine with their running back room. I just think if it gets ugly enough,
this is one
I don't really care what the athletic director tries to say. It's just like when it gets ugly enough, there's a breaking point somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But he is one of a few pressure cookers, I think, that exist in college football this weekend.
That's the tough part for me, and I don't blame you at all for feeling that way because the first 3 weeks have not gone great, and why would there be any benefit of the doubt? I guess my thought process coming into the year was that's going to be a blowout no matter what, and so I'm not going to let the game... Like, them getting killed by Oregon doesn't give me any more evidence that I need to feel a certain way about Bray.
But now, if I told you it led them to 0-4, and then they turn and burn Friday against Houston at home, where that stadium will be half full...
Yeah, it won't be.
And they lose to Houston and go to, like, it's not the breaking point. It's just a point of, like.
I mean, the breaking point might have already happened.
Right.
Time will tell on that.
Fresno State, to me, was the absolute,
had to win that one. Them as an athletic department are very interesting of, like, give us time. We trust him. We have all the confidence in the world. And then you have Orem saying, you know, I don't know if he has a lot of allies inside the athletic department. Like,
well, they're archaic. I mean, that's
getting
just
very different
put it
messages.
Very blunt and honestly, they're very archaic in that athletic department.
Also,
I can tell you confidently behind the eight ball in a lot of ways.
Without a doubt. And you're not comparing yourself to Oregon because you're in different worlds than them right now.
I keep using it. Tulane's at Ole Miss this weekend.
Yes.
That's a pressure cooker for old Lane Train.
Yeah, Tulane beat Duke. The quarterback left their team and they went on the road and smoked them this weekend.
Absolutely annihilated them. Ole Miss's quarterback went down. The backup came in and looked every bit better than the starter. So now people are like, do you have a quarterback problem? They narrowly escape Arkansas. And I don't think Tulane's going in there being happy of being 11.5-point underdogs.
Right.
They're going in there with a quarterback from a pretty good BYU team last year saying, no, we can compete with you. And so Lane Kiffin's on a bit of a pressure cooker here. You can't lose this game to Tulane.
No doubt about it.
But I compare Oregon State to Tulane.
Yeah, and I think that's totally fair. I also think the optics of what's happened this week where, I don't know if you talked about this yesterday, but I definitely had it in my notes. Of all the times to give somebody an award, which I don't even know what the award means, but called the Beaver Champion Award. Like, of all the times to do it, this is the week you as an athletic department and a university decided to give Scott Barnes the Beaver Champion Award.
What's the champion accomplishment?
Champion for the Beavs. Congratulations to the boss for earning the Beaver Champion Award from the Oregon State president. Let me see what the description
says. He basically named himself Employee of the Month.
The president of the university gave him an award this week, and everybody's like, read the room, dude. Like,
how about we just not publicly do
that? How about we not do
just
that?
Just put it
right
on the wall.
How
about you go to the grocery store?
Maybe
and
if you win like three
games. President of everybody.
Like maybe win three games in a row and then you want to give it for. He presented it to the team for outstanding effort and achievement of excellence going beyond what is required of the performance of the highest quality that has yielded a university wide impact. To which I would respond, what are we doing here?
One of the worst home game environments and maybe having a $6 to $9 million a year TV deal. Way to go.
You gave the basketball coach an extension who now can't win 10 games in a season most years, and you can't get out of it because you gave him too big of an extension. Your head coach in football left, and you handed the reins to a defensive coordinator who seems at this point to be in over his head.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the timing of all of it wasn't great. I wouldn't, you know, I don't know why Oregon State was doing that this week, but this one is not a, if you get killed, that solidifies my, I already feel the way I feel about Bray. I absolutely think that Oregon State should make a change. You want to argue now is not the time in season, whatever. That's arguing over semantics. I don't feel like there's any quantifiable thing that I can point to show they're getting better, they're progressing. I like this area, I like that. There's none of that's happening right now. And if it's a sinking ship, you got to get off before it's too late.
You may think this is a ridiculous question.
Yeah.
Who is under more pressure for a 12:30 kick in Lincoln, Nebraska? Sharon Moore?
Well, Sharon Moore's not coaching the game. So can he be under pressure if he's not coaching the game? Technically his program, but he's not behind the wheel.
God, that's such a weird situation.
I mean, I thought to myself, too, for this
but
week.
But Michigan-Nebraska is
a
one,
fun like, game, dude.
If Rule can't beat them game. With a true freshman quarterback at home.
It's year three for him. Year three, Matt Rule teams pop. It did at Temple. It did at Baylor. This is why everybody was high on them. This is a massive moment for Nebraska. They're unquestionably under more pressure to me because Michigan can use the argument we have a freshman quarterback and our head coach is suspended. Oh, and by the way, we won a title 2 years ago. This is the moment Nebraska's been waiting for. They did it against Colorado last year early in the season, and everybody thought, oh, here come the Huskers, and then their season kind of crumbled from there. So I think Nebraska's definitely under pressure. I did have the thought, because you and I were both at the Civil War in 2016, famously a battle of 2 4-8 teams where Gary Anderson beat Mark Helfrich. And it ended up being, it was a tough day because it was the game that the streak ended for Oregon, but it ended up being a good thing because it got Mark Helfrich fired and it ended up kicking us into this future of the program with different coaches. I did have that thought this week of the silver lining, at least, is if it's 72-0, is maybe it does move the needle a little bit inside the athletic department.
You go a different direction.
Like, hey, you know what? Thank you for that because maybe this ends up solving our problem.
Michigan State pressure cooker, Florida Miami pressure cooker, South Carolina at Missouri pressure cooker.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
enough
on Sellers.
They are not commenting. They had come out with injury reports on Thursday in the SEC, and then Beamer just simply said, if you don't practice Tuesday, Wednesday, we don't let you play. Mm. And then they asked, did he practice? And he said, no comment.
We'll get to more college football, some NFL as well. Football is on the docket. We got Bill Connelly, Connelly's Quarterly, coming up at 8 a.m. Do a check-in of the college football landscape with Bill Connelly. Coming up next, a mini mail sack on a Wednesday, a specialty edition of the mail sack next on 105.1 The Fan. All right, let's be on time here. So we'll get a quick mini mail sack since you missed it yesterday, my man. And we'll talk with Bill Connelly, ESPN.com, Connelly's Quarterly. We'll get to that coming up. All right, mail sack. Let's have either of you watched the Tulsa King show?
I have not watched the Tulsa King show.
I have not, and I know it may sound like we're making fun of it. It's not so much the show. I've not seen Sylvester Stallone as Dwight in the Tulsa King. I don't know if it hits the same way Rambo does. But no, I've not watched. I'll be honest with you guys out there. It may sound sad to you. I'm not really watching any television at this point.
I'm in the same boat.
I'm kind of rewatching shows that I love that make me feel good, and then I'm watching sports. And my wife is a little upset by this, I think.
Yeah.
But it's kind of just where I'm at mentally. I may get to a point where I start a show, but I'm not there yet.
I'm in the same category. I haven't watched a new show in a while. We started the new Wednesday show on Netflix and did the first three episodes, and then we didn't finish the fourth episode, and now we haven't watched the second part of the season that came out. It's just with a young kid at home, there's not a lot of TV time, and then I'm watching football. So when I'm not watching football, I'm watching football press conferences or watching football games that I missed during the weekend.
Mail sack question, if Jed Fish leaves for Florida, should UW go after Wilcox? Former DC?
Yeah, I mean, you could do worse than Justin Wilcox.
I think he'd love that move, to be honest with you. I think he'd take that in a Yes, second.
That would be lingering in the back of my head. I joke a lot with the Huskies, and you know, we have fun and go back and forth. That would be lingering in the back of my head if I were a Husky fan. Jed Fish has never been at a place longer than 3 years, if I'm not wrong. Like, he's a guy who jumps at every opportunity he gets. He's an alum of Florida. The resources are better. Like, the recruiting profile is better. Like, that one would scare me in the back of my mind. Does it happen? Who the hell knows? But that would be, and Oregon went through this. Taggart and then Cristobal twice in 5 years, and Chip leaving. Like, you became, it was hard to kind of gain any traction and make up ground against other teams because you're constantly restarting. It'd be brutal for their football program.
Somebody says it's time to get back into therapy. No, it's not. We're doing great. Everything's fine.
Everything's good.
We're totally normal here.
Who needs to get back into therapy?
I think it's a me thing.
Oh, you need to get back into therapy?
That's usually Therapy Tuesday. It hasn't been in a long time, so.
Touche.
Which wedding, my therapy. Which wedding meal would you choose? Spit roasted lamb, Kahlua pig, giant burrito bar with all the fixings, or your own personal Chinese buffet?
Does somebody roll the burrito for me? Like, do I go down the line and tell them? Is it like a Chipotle? Is it that kind of burrito, or do I fill out the burrito and fold it myself?
Do you need that?
I do. I'm not good at folding burritos.
Okay.
But I like a tightly folded burrito. And if you give me that option, I'm taking that 10 out of 10.
No, I think there are people, because you want to keep the line moving.
Yeah, you don't want to, like,
that line's going to take 2 hours to get through.
And then you're folding it at the end, and you're going through the line.
No, Chinese buffet. I want to get full. I want to have seconds. I like lamb. I can't eat a lot of lamb. I do like a serving of lamb.
I do love Kahlua pig, too. I mean, I love all those options.
I would have the lamb and the pig together if you were going to do that.
No, you can't do that. You got to pick one.
You got to play the game, Swigard. Come on. I go burrito.
I had surf and turf at my wedding. It was fantastic. We had prime rib.
Which one?
First one.
Okay.
Second one was a cocktail party.
You got to play the game.
You got to play the game.
That's not the game. The game is choose one.
God, I love burritos.
I do too.
I love burritos.
I also love Chinese food.
I'd probably do the lamb.
The lamb. Yeah, you would. could you see Joe Burrow being the next Andrew Luck?
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all. Now, in terms of, like, retiring, I guess.
I think that's what the reference is.
Oh, then no, I don't think he's going to walk away. That's to me, still a one-off or an outlier, if you will.
Okay.
But in terms of, like, will they ever support him to the point that he needs in order to win? That's the fear. Like, their offensive line has been, I was going to talk about this yesterday, but I was out. Thank you, food poisoning. Of, like, where their offensive line and pass pro rankings are the last handful of seasons, it is embarrassing how bad they've been.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no hope on the horizon to get better and improve. And so if that's, like, if this is going to be your organization with a bad offensive line and a questionable defense, you think that you're going to win a Super Bowl with that?
Mm.
So, I see the trajectory of him struggling to stay healthy and them struggling to win at the highest level because they're just not well run.
Last one, do you sneak? Let me see if I read this correctly. The email thing is so odd how it all works. How disciplined are you on not giving your dog human food or drink? This listener says they were more loose about it than their wife. They allow their dog to drink a latte.
Yeah,
that seems dangerous.
Latte seems like a bad idea.
Talk milk?
About stomach problems? That's what? I'm way looser than the wife is, but she also works in the animal industry, if you
give
will.
Your dog a lot of human food?
Not a lot. But some. Like, if I'm eating a piece of pizza, I'll give him the last bite of the crust, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I chip him off a piece of steak with a little fat on it that I don't want to eat.
Oh, you give him a little steak bite, huh?
Oh, yeah, every time I eat some steak.
I should do that, too.
Come on, dude. Loyal.
My wife is, she's very anti-human food.
I understand it.
Which is not good for them, and I get the argument, but then they're looking at you, and it's, like, so hard to say no to those eyes.
Yeah, I know.
So, I sneak it. It's an under-the-table thing when she's not paying attention.
We get our dog a pup cup.
Pop DQ. Cups. You got to get pop
cups. The peanut butter sauce on it.
Yeah,
it's probably not great for him, but man, he chows that thing down.
Every time we go to Starbucks, you got to get a pup cup.
Loaded third hour of the program. There's a little mini mail sack for you guys on a Wednesday. Normally do it on a Tuesday. Since Sturt was out, wanted to give him a couple questions. Connolly's quarterly. How is Bill Connolly viewing college football 3 weeks in going into week four? We'll find out next. Hour number three, Durden Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.